A new song. A new song. That God would reveal himself to us. And again, as we read Scripture, as we look at what God has to say, we do that together. So again, I know this is new. It might be very new to some of you. I want you to settle yourselves. Take that deep breath. Let it in and out. Again, I encourage you, go ahead and close your eyes. I'm going to read the scripture through twice. And I just want you to listen to the word of God. I'm not going to lie to you. I'll give you a quick commercial, and that is, this passage for me is a little tough. And so when I read it through the first few times, I'm like, okay, what are you saying here, God? And so close your eyes, settle yourself, and listen what God wants to reveal to you this morning in this scripture. 2 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 13. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teaching you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked day, night, and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to have such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy. They are busy bodies. Such people we command and urge the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food that they eat. As for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teaching you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy. They are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. Something that God said to you, and now something that you can look at in that passage and take with you next week. What did God say to you? And now what is it that you can apply to God revealing himself to you in that passage? What can you do? How can you live? What might you say? You are the preacher. You are the teacher of your own heart. Do you remember your first job? Do you remember your first job? Maybe some of you haven't had one yet. Some of you, maybe it's been a long time. But can you think back to that first job? If I replay my history, it probably was working alongside my dad, which some of you know, working with your father, your mother, can be an interesting adventure, to say the least. I learned a lot, but I also got frustrated a lot. So I don't know if that was a real job. So my first real job, my senior year of high school, I was one of those kids who got a lot of work done early, got done with the football season, and was looking at what's next and looking to college. And as I got to that second semester of my senior year, I was able to go to school only really half a day. And so I'd go to school, I'd take my classes, and I'd go and I'd work out, and I'd do some things for football and whatnot, and then I'd go to work. And I remember it was a sporting goods kind of shop on the way home that I used to walk by, and one day I just stuck my head in, and I asked if they needed help. And they said, yeah, we'd love to have you. And that began the adventure of working and selling camping and hiking equipment, selling boots and tents and all sorts of cool stuff, as far as I'm concerned. And the journey of being that kind of responsible employee along with a student athlete and all the mix of it, it was quite a bit of fun. But it wasn't my funnest job. That's not English, am I right? I think my favorite job was when I worked at a restaurant in Holland right on the lake called Point West. It's not there anymore. But I worked as a busboy and as a waiter, but I also worked as a bouncer at night. I had a lot of fun. There wasn't a lot more fun than, you know, throwing people out when you needed to. But anyway, it was fun. And the hardest job I think I ever had, and I mean that physically, not emotionally, was baling hay one summer. This city boy who played football and lifted a lot of weights. There is nothing more demanding, challenging, and humbling than a hayfield baled up in bales, and you need to get it in before it rains. I learned quickly what it means to work hard. You remember your first job? Do you remember what it was to finally get off your hands and to work? You see, again, that was the problem here with the Thessalonians, that people had, again, heard the message. People had, again, wondered what was going on. But a lot of people said, you know what? I'm not going to do anything until Jesus comes again, because he's coming real soon. And in the process, so many people became idle that there was almost a disease that took place, a virus that really began to destroy the community. And it really all centered around this whole idea of being idle, of sitting on their hands. And so in this passage, there's kind of a revelation of what happens and a revelation of what we need to do. What do I mean? First of all, don't be idle. Don't be idle. And this applies to kids. And I don't really care how old they are, don't be idle. If you can imagine that you have this infant, and all you do is you keep them in that cool little swing that they have. I remember it from when our kids were little. I always thought they should make an adult version. You know what I mean? The one Well, this shows you how old I am now, okay? We'd crank it up, and then you'd put a minute, and it would go tick, 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 and then you'd walk away and do what you wanted and just left them there, right? If you left the child there for 20 years, what would happen? You just feed them when they wanted to feed them. You change them when you need to change them. Leave them in there and tick, 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 back and forth. It isn't good. Fast forward to a teenager. A teenager who would rather sit and look at a video screen than go out on a day like today and hike and hunt and fish and play and do all the things that we can do in this amazing country we live in, and yet all they do is this. Or adults, where we, again, don't live up to our potential, where we would rather sit on our hands than really contribute in many ways, or, for many of you out there this morning, you retirees. I've worked a lot of years, so now I deserve to be able to sit on my hands. No, you don't. Sitting on our hands, being idle, is one of the most destructive things that can happen within our lives. And Paul talks to the church about it very clearly, that we cannot be idle. Because when we're idle, we're disruptive. When we're idle, we cause problems. When we're idle, we have too much time to think. Or another way to put it, are you ready? Idle hands are the devil's workshop. Being idle is unhealthy. How unhealthy? I love this. I love it. And this is the part that finally jumped out at me. They are not busy. They are busy bodies. So you see, there's the relationship that when we are idle, when we sit on our hands, when we don't have enough to do or we choose to do nothing, then usually what happens is we become busy bodies. Busy bodies. What do I mean? Well, again, Mildred was kind of a busybody. She was actually the busybody of the church. She loved nothing more than to keep track of everyone. And one evening when she had to let her dog out, she noticed that down the street, there sat Bob's truck in front of Mary's house. And they weren't married. And so she checked a little later, and sure enough, all night long, there is Bob's truck in front of Mary's house. And, well, Mildred couldn't wait, because Mildred picked up the phone. Mildred went forward and told the story about how Bob was spending the night at Mary's house and how awful it was. And, of course, that whole church telegraph system worked really well. Finally, she had enough, and she went to confront Bob and said, "Hey, you know, everybody knows what's going on because I saw your truck, and we know." Bob looked at her and said, "I'm not sure what you're talking about, but I had a flat tire, and my truck sat there until the next morning when I could fix the tire." She kind of swallowed her words, but that's all he really said. And he was really quite nice about it, and he walked away. But what he didn't realize was, or what she didn't realize, Mildred realized, was that his rather nice and peaceful response was accompanied with the fact that for the next week he parked his truck out in front of her house every night. You see, busybodies, we have nothing else to do. So often, I'm going to be honest and say that women get blamed for being the rumor makers. You know, they get together and they talk. Hey, men are just as bad. It's just we spread rumors about different things, okay? And we say different things and we, make judgments and so forth. We're all in it together, men and women. And in the 21st century, Paul would be going nuts because technology makes being a busybody so much easier. Because we can quickly text or Twitter or Snapchat, or we can Facebook it, or we can, and it goes like wildfire. And that's the equation that this passage is really talking about. That if we have idle hands, if our hands, our lives become the devil's workshop, then usually what it leads to is being busy bodies. And we do it at church, and we do it in our workplace, we do it in our neighborhoods, we even do it in our families, where we have nothing better than to do than to be busy bodies. I heard a story about a few pastors who decided to take a weekend and get away from it all, and they went on a fishing trip. They were having a great time, and as time passed, they kind of got closer, and they were sitting in the boat one day, and finally one of them said, "You know, I'm tired of this. We've had a great weekend, it's been fun fishing, but I need a little bit more. I need to get real." And the other two kind of looked at him, and he said, "I just need to share with you guys that I got a problem with alcohol. I'm drinking too much. People don't really know it, but they're wondering. I got a problem, and I just can't stop it." Guy in the middle of the boat looked, and he says, "Wow." He says, "Man, thanks for sharing." He says, "But," he says, I got to let you know I got a problem too." He says, I lust. I find myself looking at women, and I find myself looking at girls in my church and in the community, and I got this problem, and I'm lusting, and boy, this whole moment is happening in the boat, and they're sharing, and the third pastor's kind of quiet in the back of the boat. The other two are like, "Well, are you okay?" And he says, "Yeah." He says, "I'm just struggling because I really, really struggle with gossip." Think about that, folks. I struggle with gossip. The other two pastors looked at him and said, "What have we done? We've just given our most intimate thoughts to someone who wants to spread them all around." Is that who we are? Do we sit in the boat of life and collect all this information on people? Or we assume we collect information and then we dish it out to other people to stir the pot? Because we're busybodies. Because we got nothing better to do. Idle hands are destructive. How are they destructive? Usually in relationship, because we get busybodied and we gossip and we destroy those relationships. So what do we do? What do we do? It's real simple. Never tire of doing what is good. Never tire of doing what is good. Say it with me. Never tire of doing what is good. That's the solution. That's the medicine. That we pull our hands out from underneath our body, underneath our bottom, and get busy. That we don't sit idly by and develop ideas of how we can stir the pot. You say, but Pastor, what do you mean? I mean you have a mindset. I'm not talking about, I'm helping out with the Thanksgiving dinner. I'm going to be here for 2 hours, and that is my good deed for the whole year, and I can sit on my hands, and I can figure out who to talk about or what to talk about. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a lifestyle of doing good. Again, what do I mean? Huh? How many of you open doors for other people? When you're out and about, when you're walking through life, do you simply take the time to hold a door open and let people know, hey, I care? How many of you, one of my favorites, I started years ago, when you have some extra change in your pocket, Hand a couple pennies to the kids at Meijer so they can ride the pony. How many of you have that mindset to, again, simply reach out? How many of you, when you're in the store, take the time when the person's struggling to get something off the top shelf? That's correct. I'm talking about me, all right? And you help them get that item off of the top shelf. Or, this one's not easy. How many of you, when there's heavy traffic and people want to get into your lane and they have their blinker on and they've been nice and they've been patient, do you go, I can let them in, I can let them in, and you let them in? How many of us live in a lifestyle in which we never cease doing good things? Because if we live our lives doing those good things, if we live our lives revealing God to our world, then we don't have time to be idle, and we don't have time to think about who to talk about or what to talk about, and we change our world step by step, moment by moment, action by action, because we do good, and we never tire of it. So this morning, are you sitting on your hands? Maybe you're only sitting on one hand. Maybe you switch every now and then, right? Maybe you have your moments of doing something nice. But man, it is so much fun to talk about somebody else. Did you hear what so-and-so's doing with so-and-so and such-and-such? Oh my goodness, I can't believe that they're doing that. Oh, well, how did you find out? Well, I heard it down from so-and-so, and they told so-and-so, and we talked about it, and we just can't believe it's happening. Well, yeah, have you talked to the person directly? Oh, no. Or are we opening doors? Are we leaving pennies by the rides? Are we letting people merge into our lane? Are we doing what Jesus wants us to do? I'd rather live in a world where we never tire of doing good versus a world that's filled with busybodies. I pray that God revealed himself in the scripture to you. I pray that God gave you something for your week. And now I pray that out of that craziness and those words that he gave me, take a moment and take one thing, just one thing, that maybe I said or I illuminated from Scripture, and put that in your head and heart for the coming week. What did he say through me to you?